Welcome to another episode of The Boiler Room, an arena podcast. I'm Santiago.
And I'm a hot mess. I mean, I'm Julia Leitner, your co-host.
Julia, what are you doing okay?
I mean, Santiago, it's less than a week out from Election Day, and I'm a bundle of nervous energy.
Yeah, I definitely feel that. This is an intense period. We don't know what to think about what's happening or what's going to happen. And actually, I think that kind of works for our topic today.
What do you mean? Are we talking about anxiety?
I mean, no, but I'm sure this is an anxiety-inducing topic. It's how to interpret data and results and tying that all together and what's happening on Election Day, which Election Day also is just the last day people have to vote. So, I mean, every day has been Election Day, but yeah, we're going to be talking about results. Julia, what has that meant for you in terms of Election Day as an organizer, as a training director on a campaign? Like, what does Election Day look like for you in your experience?
Yeah, this is bringing me back to my first Election Day when I was able to vote. Actually, first and last time that I went into a poll. I think I've mentioned this story before. I was 18 in 2008, and I took Election Day off because I was working as a volunteer with a campaign. And I just remember it being a day of utter chaos. But fast forward to 2016, when I was an organizer in Ohio, and Election Day just feels like this sort of dream that you're floating through, right? Like everything is just happening. It's, you know, you're getting people to the polls, you're talking to different folks and encouraging them to get out to vote. I think I had one unsuccessful persuasion conversation on Election Day for someone who's still undecided before they're about to walk out the door and go vote. And that person, you know, I just remember thinking that trying to persuade this person was probably not worth my time as far as just maybe going and talking to a few other voters. So Election Day is just kind of, yeah, it feels like this dream. And most recently, as a training director on Election Day, you know, in the boiler room, it's this crazy time because it's your last day in the boiler room. It's your last day sort of getting in all of this data, and you've done what you can. You know, people who have been voting, they are voting. You have some idea going into this day what some of the results are or how things are working. But I guess, yeah, the greatest analogy that I have is it just feels like a dream. You're just walking through this. You have to get it through the day. And I'm not going to jinx us, but I've also sat through results coming in and just had that feeling of like, okay, doesn't look great. So what are we going to do? And so, yeah, I don't know, Santiago, I guess, you know, you bring up these thoughts and we're going to talk today about what to do on Election Day and how to interpret these results. And, you know, it's a really strange combination between inevitability, like a sense of inevitability, things are just happening. And then also this really crazy energy as we're trying to interpret data and send resources to the places where they're needed. You know, do we need more canvassers in one place? Do we need more pizza at the polls in another place?
Yeah.
Are there different things that are needed? And so I want to end my rant here by wishing everyone luck on Election Day as we are barreling towards this, because it's a very strange sort of otherworldly day. Santiago, am I like putting my interpretation on you? What's your experience of what happened on Election Day as a data director, someone who's looking at numbers, maybe a little bit more?
I mean, I love that you brought up the boiler room, because that just means this episode is like just the boiler room about the boiler room, not the movie The Boiler Room, but the place where we are on Election Day. But like, in at least in my experience with respect to being in a data role, if you're working on a campaign, most of your GOTV and this elongated GOTV that we find ourselves in this year, you're looking at a lot of like volunteer capacity data, like how many volunteers do we have in the door? You know, where are the places where we need to shift around resources? And like, that's the data that you're looking at. And on an Election Day, you know, you still have that piece of information, but you also have the additional information of like, are people voting? What does it look like on the ground at a polling location? You know, and trying to decipher, like, are enough people voting, you know, and you also are lacking information in terms of like, historically, like, when do people cast their ballots? Is it earlier in the morning? Is it later in the day? How many people voted by mail? Which you might know, but all of it kind of lives separately or doesn't live anywhere at all. And so there's a lot of anxiety around what exactly is happening, and there's really not much that you can do about it. And I remember even in my first data role a few weeks out before election day, like somebody mentioning like, hey, maybe we want to track election results by voting precinct and like having people stationed on the ground who can collect like and tell us the number of people who cast their ballots. And like to a certain extent, people being like, that doesn't matter, we don't need that. And then like later being like, that's those same very same people were like, why don't we know that? It's like, well, we don't have anybody there to tell us. And like, again, I think it is very, you know, it can be a futile exercise in some respects. It can, you know, having people stationed at, you know, precincts that you consider to be bellwethers or things like that still might get you very valuable information with respect to voter protection, making sure that, you know, at least in the boiler room, you can address challenges that voters might be facing at the polls. And I think that is extremely valuable. Trying to take it a step further and saying like, hey, tell us how many people have voted, and like getting that raw number like doesn't necessarily tell you a whole lot. And so there's just all of this uncertainty throughout the day. If you are a data staffer, and shout outs to anybody out there who's listening to this, who is a data staffer, like this is, I think, a very challenging day for you all, because people are looking for answers with incomplete information. And this year especially is going to be hard to be able to decipher what's happening, just because of all of the different ways that people are voting this year. It's either, you know, it's primarily, you know, mail-in absentee ballots. Some places are really going to have a huge emphasis on early vote in person. So it's just going to be harder to, because the bulk of voting is happening before election day, it's going to be harder to tell, like, with those election day stories that people are coming up and hearing and saying, oh, I'm hearing that there are, you know, long lines at this precinct. So I think that's good. Like, yeah. There's just so much more BS that you have to cut through. And so, you know, I think it's going to be really challenging for data staff to try and interpret what's happening, which is, again, why I was really happy that we got an opportunity to talk to an election night expert who's going to help us kind of suss out what does election night data look like. So I think that's going to be really helpful in illustrating like how different this election is, but also I think have some good takeaways for how people can evaluate results in their own districts.
Yes, this is so, so important. And I'm so glad that we are having this conversation, because, you know, yeah, as you said, that there's sort of this strange amalgamation between qualitative and quantitative information that you get on election day. And it feels like we should mostly rely on the quantitative side of things. And yet, the qualitative side of things, the stories that are coming out of the polling locations and the precincts, those have such sort of emotional clout. And I feel like we can be buffeted in many different directions very quickly. And so, so excited to hear more of this conversation and focus in on some of the numbers, what people should be focusing on, what they should be looking for, things that they can be looking at to kind of keep yourself grounded during this moment. And, you know, we always say, and I love this from this saying from a good friend of Santiago's, Cass, he says, don't ride the polar coaster. Don't ride this roller coaster of emotions. You know, we have the polls, of course, we know, don't ride that polar coaster, but also just the roller coaster of emotions that can happen on election day. You all are entitled to feel all the things that you need to be feeling right now, but also stay a little bit grounded, keep sight of the things that are important. Feel free to ignore the alarmist texts from your mom that are saying, you know, whatever rumor it is she's hearing on the ground, and do what you need to for yourselves on these days. Just want to remind folks of that. Take care of yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, figure out what that text group is, whether it's like, you know, all your campaign colleagues or past and present campaign colleagues, like figure out what that is. And that's your group to hang out with, and trying to block out a lot of those hot takes and things like that. But yeah, it's going to be wild. And so excited for this next conversation on election night reporting. And we're talking to Charlotte Swayze, who is a vice president of data and polling at Data for Progress. And we're talking about election night reporting. Charlotte has been a team member of the Warren for President data team. She's worked for Civis Analytics. It was clear from our conversation that we faced some of the same challenges doing election night reporting, but her experience with Warren for President and Civis, I mean, she's done this at the very high levels of electoral campaigns. So myself, data staff, non-data staff alike, I think have a lot to learn from Charlotte and her experience. And the really cool thing is she's taking all of that experience and putting it into her latest project with Data for Progress called the Election Night Integrity Project. I think this is just going to be a thing from now on the Boiler Room podcast. I'm just going to be extra excited to share a conversation with another really talented data staffer. Here's my conversation with Charlotte. Well, Charlotte, thank you so much for joining us on the Boiler Room. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, good. Well, I'm excited to talk about election reporting. I'm hesitant to say the word night.
Let's go with election season.
Because it's going to be like this, you know, elongated thing. But, you know, this is an extraordinary election. I don't think we need to say that. But tell us a little bit about your background, how you come into data, and how that kind of intersects with election night reporting.
Yeah. So my background is really as a pollster. That's kind of my training and most of my experience. Also kind of forecasting, resource allocation, modeling, targeting, pretty much all things that kind of spin out of survey data. I ended up working on election night reporting because as a forecaster and as the person responsible for sort of making these guesses, you're really responsible for also reporting like how actual results come in compared to expectations. And you're also generally responsible for like prepping your team, whatever that is, like on a campaign, or when I was kind of working more as a consultant and vendor, it might be a client or it might be internal. So you're kind of responsible both for like prepping them and setting expectations. And then on election night, like running a system to sort of process information and see how it comes out.
And so, you know, you've done this at a very high level with lots of resources, but like, how does election night reporting, what does that generally look like? How does it usually come together? Yeah, I'm just interested in your perspective on that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, typically it's an under-resourced thing, frankly. Like, it's this thing that no one really thinks about until a couple of weeks before, right? Because like, it doesn't move any votes. Like, it's it's kind of only time gated on the election. Everyone's super busy. Like there's stuff happening. So typically what happens, even when I was at Civis and kind of in more of a consulting role, is like a few weeks before the election, we'd be like, right, election night reporting.
Yeah. What are we doing?
We get client requests that were like, okay, can you come? We want you to be at I was at the DLCC in 2018, like in their kind of data room. So there's a couple different ways to do it. Like on the more hacky end, what I usually do is straight up use some sort of web scraper or like whatever I can get my hands on to ingest results on, assuming I'm operating on like no budget, and then do like actual code if I'm feeling fancy, or just a spreadsheet if I'm not feeling fancy, to break it down by geography. So county, precinct, whatever, compare it to my forecasts or polling, and then use that to sort of give people a sense of how it's going overall.
When you say comparing it to your forecast, is that like a modeled score that you have from a vendor or from the party, or is that something different?
It's usually something different. Like when I talk about forecasts, for me, what that means is that it's basically polls plus. So it's some sort of low geography prediction that is built off of high level polling data. So stuff that tells you like, this state's 5 points more Democratic than it was last time, or like this candidate's doing really well among women. And then also past results, which you can get at really low geographies, which are super helpful and also do like 90% of the work in forecasting. So that plus polling gives you these like, what are basically like very informed guesses of how will this particular county or how will this precinct go this cycle?
So talk to me a little bit about your current project, the Election Night Integrity Project. I want to know a little bit more about this and, you know, again, in the context of this election and how it's maybe different.
Yeah, so the Election Night Integrity Project is a project of Data for Progress, which is my current employer. And this kind of came up, so a couple months ago, I was starting to think about what election night reporting would look like and what my role in the like election process would be. And this is the first time in a while that like, I'm not in a boiler room. I'm not in a windowless conference room. I'm not in a campaign office. I'm kind of an outside, like Data for Progress is a progressive think tank and polling firm. So I have like a stake in it, but I'm not working directly for a campaign. And so I started floating to folks the idea of building an election night reporting system that would be public and kind of shareable by different orgs. And also in the context of this election, just seeing so many people like wanting to really track election results and really caring about these teeny tiny shifts, and like hearing from friends of mine that they're intending to like be on the New York Times site hitting refresh every 2 minutes, I kind of got worried, because normally in a boiler room, my role is like to be the person who is doing the staring at the results so that leadership and folks who are making like comms decisions and so on, like aren't quite as embedded and don't freak out if something moves because 10 more votes got counted and there's 20 votes counted total and like it wiggles.
Yeah.
So the Election Night Integrity Project is a public, both educational tool and election night reporting resource. It lives on our website at 2020.dataforprogress.org. It is completely public. It is C3 safe. We're using the AP feed. So we're going to have presidential, House, and Senate results in there. We're not doing governor or state led, just we straight up didn't have the resources for it. Like, this is super well resourced for an election night project, but it's still like five of us. So we're doing our best.
I think that's an important thing to highlight for folks of like, this looks different everywhere in terms of like level of race, like what kind of results that you can either pull from a website and download a spreadsheet or straight copy and paste from a website. Like it is very cumbersome in terms of what you can potentially do.
It's tricky, and it's like there's not a centralized source of information is I think the thing that threw me when I started doing this, because I was like, of course there's a website that will give me all the election results in a reasonable format, and that straight up doesn't exist. Like the AP is the canonical, like most accurate source, and it's wildly expensive because it's a private like news corporation. There is no single source of election results. And if you want them at the county level nationally, like either you wait until Academics or Daily Coast or someone publishes it, or you kind of hack it together. Like there's no clean answer.
And so the Election Night Integrity Project, you're going to be pulling in the presidential, congressional, and
Senate.
And Senate races. In terms of like how is it going to help people interpret what is happening and kind of give them that extra context for this election night?
Yeah, so the way we have our dashboard set up is that first and foremost, we tried to make it very almost boring and factual, like no needles, no forecasts, no percentages, no projections, just the data as it comes in. And the second thing we're doing is as much as we can, we're benchmarking it against previous election results. Yeah. So any place you click in our dashboard, you'll see number of votes compared to 2016, results like partisanship compared to 2016 or past election in some of our House districts. So we're really building in that comparison everywhere, because unless you know a state super well, if you look at a number and you're like, oh, this is, I don't know, 50% Democratic, like it's super hard to know what that means unless you also have the Wikipedia tab for 2016 presidential results up.
Yeah.
And it's even worse for smaller districts, like House districts. Again, unless you really, really know that district, you don't have context. So we built that straight in, so it's visually apparent immediately what these previous benchmarks are, to help folks kind of go into it with context and not have to like look at the number and then go do a bunch of research on the side to conceptualize it.
I think that's what makes this such a really, you know, an educational tool for people who might be doing election night reporting for their campaigns, of just knowing like, oh yeah, we're going to want to be able to make those comparisons. We're going to want to have that context on the front end so that, you know, you stay focused in one doc. Because at least in the past, when, you know, when I was first kind of sketching this out, and again, like you said, it's such an under-resourced thing that like, you know, if you don't have time to pull all these things together, like it just makes your election night much more frantic. And so doing some of that on the front end is really helpful.
Yeah. And this is like, this whole project really comes out of what I've kind of learned doing this. Cause like, I didn't know this when I started building it. I was like, okay, I've got my election results. Like I'm good. And then half an hour later, someone was like, hey, how many people voted for the Democrat in 2010 in this place? And I was like, I have no idea what, like, I'm going to go pull it together. So now I know that I need that ahead of time. So I feel like for folks building their own election night reporting setups, because again, we don't try to be everything to everybody. We know people are going to have to build their own systems. We're hoping this can kind of be a model of how to think about it and what info you might want to have.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And like, because like, you know, I put myself in that same boat. I had no idea and then was getting those questions. And, you know, it's a stressful environment to be in that space on election night, because literally if you are a data person, every single eye in that boiler room or war room like is now on you. And they're like,
oh yeah, it's stressful. It's terrible. Like, it's a really tough time. And I think like the other thing we put into this project that I'm hoping will be helpful for like practitioners is we're putting in guides. So if you click on our site, there's like election night guides. Right now we have 101 and 201 up. And those are basically to help people brief. Let's say you have a comms director or someone else who like knows a lot about politics, doesn't really know election night data or results data. What are the things you need to tell them? So we go all the way from the very basic things like counting results takes time, which again, super basic, but I've definitely worked with folks who just brilliant people hadn't thought about it, thought we would get results immediately, which is not the case. We explain like what a precinct is. We talk about like how the actual process of these ballots getting counted works. So that's another thing we're really hoping will be useful, because we've just had more time and space to think about this than I would have if I was on a campaign.
Yeah, I think that's definitely key. And, you know, those, I've taken a look at those resources as well. And it's like just super useful information for the basics. And again, like, to know, to start to anticipate what some of those questions might be from those anxious campaign managers or comm staffers who are like, you know, everybody has that like nervous energy and wants to know what to say and has no idea. Like, once the poll, essentially, like all election day, everybody's kind of sitting around wondering, like, are we winning? Are we losing? I don't know.
No, it's the worst. Like, I mean, I gave this briefing to my team today, like, because we have a lot of folks who this is their first cycle. Election day is kind of the worst, because until polls close and you start getting results, like you don't know anything new.
Yeah.
And even once polls close, you get really preliminary results. It's like 100 ballots. You don't know if they're mail-in or in person. They're probably not representative of the full set of results. And then you'll get asks that are like, what does this mean for the whole state? And you kind of have to be confident saying like, we cannot make that prediction.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know, we need to wait. And like, that is not fun, but it is super important.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I, you know, kind of leads me to a question of, you know, as far as advice goes for those people who might be asking that question of like, what does this mean for the state? Like, what advice do you have for them as far as kind of waiting out this process and trusting that like, okay, we're gonna have to wait.
The first thing that I'll say is that this is a cycle where I would advise being even more cautious than usual. Typically in an election, what I'll do is there'll be certain counties or certain bits of the state that report really fast just because they have like, I don't know, poll workers who are really on top of it, or they're smaller, they have like one voting site. And you can usually kind of look at those results, be like, okay, they're 2 points better than what we expected. Therefore, we think the state will kind of be 2 points better. This cycle, do not do that. You cannot do that. It does not work, because the results that come in are much more likely to be early because they were either mail-in ballots that got counted before the election, or in other places, they're in-person votes. They get processed immediately, and then there's still mail-ins to be counted. They're not going to be representative. So I think my advice is just to like resist the urge to do those projections, because you will just drive yourself crazy. Yeah, I guess my other thing is like, if you have the time to kind of get your setup together, strongly recommend like trying to put your spreadsheets and stuff together before election day. Like, it's always worse when you're doing it day of. Depending on the number of races you're trying to track, like, you can either kind of do it by hand. I've done this. It's not super fun, but like, it does work.
Yeah.
In one state, like a handful of races, the Secretary of State pages will usually have information. The formatting is like, who knows, but but you can usually pull it.
Yeah.
this is when I start recruiting people who are like anxious and want to help on election day to just like literally copy paste things for me.
That's immediately where my mind went.
For me, I usually go for like data people, engineers, like anyone who comes to my desk is like, how can I help? I'm like, well, do you want to monitor a Secretary of State page? If you have a little bit more free time and like want to be a little more technical or you have a lot of races, strongly recommend trying out a web scraper. So my like fun hack that don't tell the New York Times about is that the back end of their election night pages has JSON, like it's a data format with the AP results they're using that's pretty accessible. So if you have someone who knows how web scrapers work, or even like me, like I'm not great at them, but you can go to like inspect element on their page, find this block of JSON, and then with a little bit of coding know-how, kind of turn it into an actual data frame you can use. I'm trying to get some code cleaned up to do that, but I frankly have not had time. but I'm assured by my slightly more technical friends that like this is something that's pretty easy to put together. Again, recommend like anyone who emails you being like, hi, I'm a tech person and I want to help, like throw them at this.
Yeah.
It's a great like handoffable problem.
Yeah. I've had a couple of instances where some colleagues, coworkers of mine who have that technical skill become available, and I'm like, oh, you can do that. But I also like sometimes I'm start building it like with like, all right, I think we might be copying and pasting from the Secretary of State website, and then they come in and save the day, which is nice. But being prepared for both of those eventualities is always a good idea.
Yeah. There's also the other resource I'm aware of is that there's a group called Verified Voting who have a tool that I don't think is quite public yet, but will be soon, to help people process election results as they're posted on Secretary of State pages. They're a group of academics and then a C3 organization. So I don't think they're going to be doing anything night of, but they're hoping to get 2020 results in the days after. And those should be public and shareable in a way that like AP data and other kind of private sources aren't.
I'm definitely writing that down for my own purposes.
Yeah, I actually need to like email them and see what I can get them to do. It's like a little bit more technically complicated. It's kind of like a tool that I would throw at a technical volunteer, but hopefully it's going to be useful.
Awesome. Well, I'm mindful of the fact that like you all have done the Election Night Integrity Project kind of really with like this view towards like this general over like viewing audience who's going to be tuned in, who, you know, as soon as polls close across the country are going to turn into, you know, I don't know, prognosticators or something, like they're going to be trying to make inferences about this. You already mentioned the guides, but are there any tips in there in any of the guides? Because I found them most very useful, but are there any tips in there that you want to highlight for folks who might be looking at this for the first time and kind of having their first election night experience?
So I think thing number one, this is my personal pet peeve, is don't use precincts reporting. A lot of the media sites will publish like percent precincts reporting. And all that means is, let's say there's 100 precincts in this county, 10 of them have given us data so far. Normally you can kind of use that as like a proxy for what percent of the votes have been counted. Because if it's predominantly day of vote, once they like report once, they'll have reported most of their data. This time, all that goes out the window because we fully expect precincts to report subsets of data as they count it and to take a lot longer counting physical boxes of mail-in ballots. So I think that's my kind of initial tip, is just like, do not use that number as a proxy for what percent of the vote has been counted. We don't have a number for how many people have voted until all the votes are counted. I'm leaning on 2016 to give us this kind of overall sense of how many people will vote.
Yeah.
But yeah, don't kind of get drawn into easy solutions there, because it can be really misleading. Yeah, I guess my other tip is, I mean, I think campaign folks will probably know this, but just take a look at the laws for your state. Depending on if you're a postmarked by state or received by state for mail-in ballots, there can be votes that are actually like literally not in on election night that will count. So I think, yeah, again, for people who are working on like state level races, I assume they're very aware of this. But if you're running a program where you're looking at like nationally, it's worth taking a bit of a deep dive into the rules, because that will impact how quickly ballots are counted and how long it takes. Things also like pending litigation, like Pennsylvania is this hotbed So we're expecting them to take a lot longer to count their ballots, whereas Florida seems to kind of have it together, and we're hoping they're going to come in a little bit more quickly.
Well, awesome. Those are great tips. Charlotte, thank you so much for your time and coming and talking to us about this project and for all of your work. So much of your experience on election night I resonate with. So just really appreciate you bringing this expertise to this project.
Yeah, absolutely. Super happy to talk to you.
Well, that does it for this episode of The Boiler Room. This is our last episode before Election Day. We're thinking about those of you who are working on campaigns, who've been grinding on campaigns for maybe months now, and you are in the final stretches, and we're definitely rooting for you. And shout out to all the Arena grads out there working on their first campaigns. Remember to check us out on Twitter and Instagram at Arena Summit. Like us on Facebook. We also will link out to the Election Night Integrity Project that Charlotte mentioned in this podcast in the Tools from Our Friends section of the Toolbox. For my co-host, Julia Leitner, I'm Santiago. We'll see you next time.